Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. September 21, 2013, she was enjoying a day at the mall. It had been a typical, standard mall day. Shop a little, look a little, shop a little. She left the children at home. She was meeting a friend for coffee. The shooting began outside of the mall, and then it made its way to the inside, and they could hear the gunfire growing closer, and there were explosions too, and she watched then as people all around her began to fall. By the time it was over, 62 civilians, 5 soldiers, and the 4 gunmen were dead. But Sneha Kothai Masru was not one of them. It happened at the Westgate Shopping Center in Nairobi, Kenya. She went to the ground to avoid the bullets. She heard a cell phone go off next to her. She looked to see where the cell phone sound was coming from so she could turn it off. And she reached under the teenage boy next to her. He'd been shot. He was covered with blood. And she had an idea. Scapegoat. Heard of the term? Scapegoat. It comes from Yom Kippur, the holiest day on the Hebrew calendar. Yom means day. Kippur means atonement or cleansing. This year, it begins at sunset on September 15 and ends at sunset the next day. In Old Testament times, once a year, the high priest only was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies wearing a special robe worn only on that day. And a lot of stuff went on that day. There was a lot of ritual in Yom Kippur. The temple service lasted all day and involved not a little amount of blood. 7 times during the day, blood was sprinkled upon various surfaces. Later on in the day, 2 goats were brought forth. One of the goats was killed, and its blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat, the presence of God among his people. The other goat was the one known as the scapegoat. Moses talks about it in Leviticus 16, speaking for God. Then Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel and all their transgressions, all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat and sending it away into the wilderness by means of someone designated for the task. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to a barren region. The goat shall be set free in the wilderness, Leviticus 16. So the dictionary definition of scapegoat is firstly, one that is made to bear the blame of others, and secondly, means that goat that was sent into the wilderness. But did you notice the goat was not just sent out into the wilderness? Did you notice that the high priest laid his hands on the goat and said words? And that's how we know the symbolism of the scapegoat. The Levite, the priest, will confess. As he puts his hands on the scapegoat, he will confess all the iniquities, all their transgressions, all their sins. That's the symbolism. Last night we heard from Exodus 24 how Moses slaughtered an oxen and he took that blood and splashed some of it on the mercy seat, the presence of God, and some of it he sprinkled on the people, the congregation. That symbolism there, right after the giving of the Ten Commandments, behold the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words, the covenant of the law. Obey the Ten Commandments and you will live. Disobey them and you won't. And they all said, we will. The basic meaning of a blood sacrifice is found in the Old Testament, and there was a lot of blood there. The basic meaning is found in Leviticus 17:14, for the life of every creature is in the blood of it. The life of every creature is in the blood of it. Therefore, I have said to the people of Israel, you shall not eat the blood of any creature, for the life of every creature is in the blood. About 6 pints of blood, I guess, in the human body. And that blood does a lot of heavy lifting, transporting stuff around the body. Without the blood, there is no life. Like the Old Testament says, for the life of every creature is in the blood of it. And then there were the daily sacrifices that also involved a lot of blood. And words, words too. Words like this from Alfred Edersheim, the temple in its service. O Lord, I have sinned. I have done perversely. That's what you would say when you brought your sacrifice. I have rebelled. I have committed. And then that spot for silent confession of sins, of omission and commission, like we do sometimes here. But I return in repentance, and let this be for me my atonement, my covering, my cleansing. Yeah, bloody place, that temple in Old Testament times. Paul Meyer thinks there are probably about 20,000 lambs slaughtered in temple on Passover. He talks about a heavy-duty drainage system they installed to carry away a lot of the large amounts of blood. Lots of sacrifices. Lots of blood. And they all pointed to one thing, reminded them of one thing. The time when blood, the blood of the spotless, sinless Lamb of God would be shed for their sins. And something would actually be done about it. We talked about LSB 431. And a couple days ago, a couple weeks ago, in the midweek service, I think, the first verse, not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altar slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away its stain. It's a thoroughly Christian idea, isn't it? And Christians like us understand it, don't we? So did the Christians in the Old Testament understand that and believe it. The Christians who were looking forward to the coming of Christ understood that also, that not all those bloods of beasts could do anything. The scapegoat that was sent out into the wilderness bearing their sins was a good visual. The sacrifices offered were a good visual, but no sins were actually covered. No sins were actually paid for. Nothing was actually cleansed by that. They knew as well as we that the scapegoat would most likely have its blood shed and life drained by probably some wild animals, which would then consume it. And they knew that those daily sacrifices, the sprinkling of the blood on the congregation by Moses, none of it actually did anything to actually get them forgiveness of sins, which is kind of the sine qua non, no forgiveness, no salvation. And you can't get forgiveness from the blood of an animal. Hebrews 10, speaking of the annual and the daily nature of those bloody sacrifices, points out that they, quote, can never, those sacrifices can never, by those same sacrifices which are continually offered year after year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered? If the worshippers had once been cleansed, they would no longer have any consciousness of sins. If those animal sacrifices had actually done something to actually make atonement, payment for sin, then you wouldn't have to come back again all the time. But they do, because they don't. But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder In these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sin year after year. For it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins, says the writer of the Hebrews, pointing out the obvious, a reminder. And speaking then of that first covenant, that of the law, do this, don't do that, and you will be saved. They were utterly unable, no matter what they said, to do and not do. Same as us. The writer continues. He abolishes the first covenant or contract in order to establish the second. And by that covenant or will, bequest, we have been sanctified, pronounced holy through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And it worked. Her idea worked. That teenage boy would die of his wounds, but not Sneha, Kothai, Masru. She says, I took a lot of his blood, as much as I could, and tried to put it on myself, put it on my arm, as much as I could, to pretend I'm dead, or at least badly injured. I think the blood protected me. I think it saved my life. Covered in the blood of that teenage boy, saved your life. Worked. And what works for us is that our sins are covered by the blood of Jesus, and that blood saves our lives for eternity. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away, a sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. Believing, we rejoice to see the curse removed. We bless the Lamb with cheerful voice and sing his bleeding love. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding.